you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday. It's the last day in August. It's the 31st, 2020.
We made it this far through 2020. We're going forward now.
Let's celebrate, yes. In fact, 2 weeks ago, that song, Ooh, Child, Things Are Going to Get Easier. I was on that. But then on Friday, I shared this during Mark and Friends. The newest song was that Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord, Yes, Yes, Lord. And then as I looked it up, there's that other song by the Bill Gaither Homecoming Family with Jesse Dixon. And that was another Yes, Lord. And so I played that on the air. But today it's all about being joyful. Be joyful always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It's the verse for the week. And the verse we'll talk about today with our special reading from 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. But we have a special guest.
We
two guests in the studio that I'm so thankful that God put it on my mind. I was reading through some listener letters and donations to the station, and their envelope came up, and I opened it up, and there was a nice little enjoying the programming. And I thought, this couple would be great to have in. I haven't had them in for, I don't know, but was it about a year ago?
It was about a year ago.
I know we met up in the Rankin, East Lynn area.
East Lynn.
And that was a little over a year ago around that time. And I had heard about Kendra Smiley from her radio program, Live Life Intentionally, and a known area speaker for women's groups and other functions, sought after, and an author, many different books. But I didn't know much about her husband. And you and I, John, we met up, we started talking. I thought, kindred spirits, like the chemistry. I said, I like this guy. And then you introduced me to Kendra, and we started talking. I said, we need to have your little one-minute radio spot on our station, our network of stations. So we've been airing Live Life Intentionally for, I guess, about a year now.
Thank you.
And so then I had you guys in, and it was fun loving, kidding, sharing, and so glad to have you back, especially because the last time you were in, we didn't have the additional 15 frequencies. So I can't wait to have Marianne introduce you to our listeners in Bloomington and Springfield and Whitehall and Beardstown and Decatur, all throughout the central part of Illinois, all the way to the Macomb and the borders of Illinois. And then the Indiana listeners, they already know them from the last time they were interviewed, but now being broadcast on 19 different frequencies throughout the area. So you were a part of the early stages of hearing me begin to say, hey, pray this up. We think God's doing a huge new thing here, and I don't know how it's going to look or how it all work out, but you were kind of in the know because that was about a year ago when it was all starting to begin to come together. So how about you formally introducing them, and then we're going to be talking about our verse for this week, Be Joyful Always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
I would be honored to do that. So we have here John and Kendra Smiley. And here is some things about Kendra and her profession as an author. Kendra is a popular speaker and author passionate about helping others make the next right choice, which I love that phrase.
Thank you.
I just love it. The always active former Illinois Mother of the Year hosts a daily radio show.
And you know, behind every good Mother of the Year is a great Dad of the
Year. Amen. Let's preach that. Let's preach that. There we go.
That'll preach.
That's right.
Okay, the radio show is called Live Life Intentionally, heard on over 350 stations, including us. So maybe it's 351. Anyway, Kendra was born and raised in central Illinois, just 30 minutes from where she currently lives, the daughter of a local dentist and the youngest of three children. She was very active in her school and community.
And isn't it great to have the last name Smiley?
I know what I thought about
part
that.
Of that. In fact,
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if that was appropriate.
Yeah, and you had those T-shirts, which I think is just so novel or wonderful, you know, smileys. And
celebrating smiles.
Yeah. So we have to give additional credit to John again
for
that name Smiley. You know, it was.
And our youngest son's a dentist, and then that really worked out to celebrate smiles when you have a dentist in the family.
That's right. Yeah.
So Kendra brought her energy and enthusiasm to educating children. As she began her career as a teacher, she quickly engaged with parents and students to provide an outstanding learning experience. in addition to her classroom duties, she was a basketball coach. My mother was the first girls basketball coach in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm glad you were also one. Kendra married John over 35 years ago.
What a great choice.
I think it was longer than 35 years.
Yeah, yeah. We have, our oldest son is 41.
Okay, well,
we were married.
Oh. 48 years. We've been married. Married 48 years.
He's in charge of all the math.
Of all math.
In our
okay.
family.
Now, John, would you say that she really married up?
I'm not going there.
We're not going there. We're not doing that.
Okay.
Together, they've raised three sons. Kendra brought new meaning to stay-at-home mom with her work as a mother, entrepreneur, church, and community leader. She's a graduate of the University of Illinois.
Ooh.
Look at that. And received a master's degree in education from the University of North Dakota.
Very accomplished as a couple. I know you participate in marriage seminars together. In fact, that's going to be maybe a scheduled future interview, is just to have you come in and touch on the marital, or maybe we'll even
That'd
have an event
great.
Or a gathering where they can be like the keynote speaker, and we have like a date night here at Lincoln Square
goodness,
or somewhere.
Oh my goodness, we're making
fun.
Another decision
yeah,
right on the air.
Yeah, we do this a lot of times. We just decide new events over the air, but
excellent.
Appreciate
both
idea. Of you, mainly because you're faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're passionate about God's Word. You're active in your church. I know you love bragging up your pastor and the congregation that you get to serve with and worship with. And, John, I know that's one of the things that you and I, we both love teaching. We love Bible teaching, and I know we had this discussion some time ago where one unique thing about Christian radio is you have these pastors that study God's Word and then deliver a message or divide God's Word, and that's something that's close to your heart, is studying God's Word, having it divided, having it taught, finding points of application. And so you're a part of what began as Kendra's ministry, right, where she was doing these devotional and podcasts. And how did it come along? Did you say one day, hey, John, I think you could help address this subject? Or how did you become a part of the Live Life Intentionally ministry?
Well, do you want to take
ahead.
It?
Go ahead.
Most of our books early on were published by Moody Publishing. And a woman who worked there became my friend. And she was the one who said, you know what? Let's put John on these radio spots. You know, like give him like every Tuesday. John, the resident dad.
Yeah.
And that's how it began.
Right, and that's how the radio part began for Kendra and me speaking together. It began when I retired from the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and our main source of income was the Air Force Reserves. And if you know anything about the Air Force Reserves, you don't get any retirement till you're 60. I was 52, and part of my testimony is that was a really hard time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was seeking the Lord in what direction to go, and basically he said, I want you to work with Kendra. And Kendra had been speaking for about 10 years, and she was really good. And I said, oh, boy, you know, that's going to be very, very difficult for me to jump in and be on the stage with her.
Kind of like God to say, okay, we're going to take you out of your comfort zone, and
yeah.
you're going to walk into the courageous zone where you're going to lean into me. But you also were a colonel in the Air Force, and you flew fighter jets, and even recently you had a little date night on your birthday and got into a little Cessna and had some fun, you know, flying around. But, you know, a man's man in the military, you know, you knew what was expected of you, you had your position, your title, your worth, if you will, like many guys oftentimes will have in their jobs, like women also, that could be true. But suddenly you found yourself retired and sort of like, okay, Lord, what's the next step? How are you going to use me?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. And he said, I want you to work with Kendra. And that's when we started writing parenting books together. And then we went out and started doing parenting seminars. And it was a real humbling experience for me because Kendra had been a speaker. She was very good. And I would get up on stage, and I literally knew that I had to say, okay, Kendra, help me, because I had to get up to speed. It wouldn't be any good if I took 5 years to get up to speed. I had I had to get up to speed really, really quickly. And so we would get done. And I remember distinctly one of the first times I spoke, and it was mostly women, mothers, and we got off the stage, and Kendra looked at me, and she said, John, you're scaring them. You're scaring them.
Nothing like some quick affirmation after
us. You can't scare him like that. That just so stuck in my head. You gotta tone it down a little bit because, you know, their eyes are this big.
We're still in the Air Force mode. Huh?
Yeah, there you go. And then she helped me, and the first person that did it came up to me when we had been speaking together, when we got done, and this lady came up and said, "Boy, you two guys really, really speak well together.
Wow.
You just, you know, mold together." And I thought, touchdown, and that's what God wanted. So anyway, it was a huge learning curve for me, but that's why we started writing and speaking together.
That's great.
How many books have you written together, or how many total books by the Smiley family?
Together, we've written 3. I've written about 10, and I'm counting ones that I did 2-3 chapters of someone else's book that I contributed.
Because beforehand we were talking about personalities, and we might touch on that today. And I'm already thinking that Testimony Tuesday, we got to bring you back because there's so much more to your testimony and story. But we are talking about personality differences.
Yeah.
And many times God has opposites attract, one being more of an introvert, one obviously being an extrovert, and how God will use that through your speaking engagements and, you know, just that learning curve. Like you said, maybe you scared them initially, but as you learn to present and be comfortable sharing on the topics and such, you became obviously probably more relaxed. And then Kendra maybe thought, hey, maybe sometimes I go a little overboard. And so probably being a really good balance for each other.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Opposites attract, and that's the usual. What is bad is when opposites attack. You want to avoid that.
Amen. I like that. Good. That's good. Good. That's a good word.
Well, our verse for today and this week is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. So that's one that I think we can all memorize and get down this week. But like I said beforehand, when I saw your note and thought of you two, I thought, you guys are filled with joy because you have the Lord Jesus Christ living and abiding in you. You want to submit to him. That inner joy is the peace that he's given you because you both are followers of him and you recognize that he's your Savior. But you also exhibit great joy because of your sense of humor and your love for life and your involvement with your family and your kids and relationships and the many things you do. So I just thought you would be a great fit, and we'll talk about being joyful always after Marianne reads from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Our next 3 verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, comprise one of the shortest paragraphs of the Bible. Yet this sliver of a passage has the ability drastically to improve our temperaments. It's no accident they appear near the end of 1 Thessalonians. Thumb through Paul's letters in the Bible. Notice how often he grows succinct and aphoristic near the end of his books. Okay, we're stopping right here.
Yeah, help us with that one.
I will. I looked it up. I have a team with me, you know. We have to look up words we don't know. Okay. Expressing much in a few words, a concise explanation. Okay. Mm. He says succinct and aphoristic near the end of his books. This is the Apostle Paul. As he runs out of parchment. So intriguing. Okay. I love the pithy wisdom that marks the conclusions of his letters. At the end of 1 Thessalonians, for example, he starts bullet-pointing his advice like this. And these are the verses. Verse 16, rejoice always. 17, pray constantly. Verse 18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, don't stifle the Spirit. Verse 20, don't despise prophecies. Verse 21, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. And verse 22, stay away from every form of evil. Verse 16, rejoice always, is the shortened form of Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The Greek word refers to the uplifting, ongoing cheerfulness of the Christian. Joy is the helium of the heart that makes us airborne. It's the cork-like quality of our souls that keeps us buoyant. Sadness and sorrow befall us in life. Tears come. Disasters strike. But by and large, the default attitude of the believer is the joy of the Lord. Hmm. That's the natural setting of the Christ-like person. Uplifting, outgoing cheerfulness, gladness. I once read of a man who smelled good wherever he was and whatever he was doing. His very skin seemed to exude a pleasant fragrance. He worked in a perfume factory, and he breathed the aromas every day. They filtered into his clothing, penetrated his skin, and even filled his lungs. He became a walking perfumery. That should be happening to us. As biblical joy pervades one's personality, it puts a smile on the face, a sparkle in the eye, a bounce in the step, a warmth in the voice, a confidence in the heart, and a composure in the demeanor. It should exude from us like the essence of the Savior. The joy of the Lord is the strength of our lives. Rejoice sometimes, rejoice always. And here's another insert. There's no excuse for not memorizing this verse. It's the shortest in the Bible. As a child, I was told...
Actually, I'll jump in. I think it's the second shortest. Jesus wept is the shortest.
Oh, you're just right ahead
of
us.
Yeah, I already wrote down the second shortest verse because I was thinking Jesus wept is the shortest.
As a child, I was told that John 11:35, Jesus wept, was the Bible's smallest verse. That is the shortest verse in the English Bible. But in the Greek New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is even shorter. In a sense, we have two shortest verses in the Bible. In the Greek, it's rejoice always. And in our English Bibles, it's Jesus wept. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Weeping and rejoicing. But how appropriate. Because Jesus wept, we can rejoice. Because he bears our sorrows, we experience his joy. And here's a quote from Billy Sunday, baseball player turned evangelist. God pays in joy that is fireproof, famine proof, and devil proof.
Oh,
Billy Sunday.
Billy Sunday. Yeah, I think there's some quotes at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago with Billy Sunday and Billy Sunday room up there.
He was converted there, I remember. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Be joyful always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
You know, there's a book that I wrote several years ago called Live Free, and every chapter in that book begins with the word choose. And there's one chapter that's called Choose Joy. And it's the story of a dear friend of mine who used to live closer to where we live that I spent a lot of time with, who discovered that she had cancer. And every report, it wasn't getting any better at all. She and her husband moved to Colorado, and I'd call her once a week just to encourage her and to be encouraged by her, which was, very, very interesting to me. Finally, I had a speaking engagement in Colorado, and I talked to her husband. By this time, my friend Shirley was in hospice, and I said, I'm flying out there, and here's when I'm going to land, and I'm going to get to see Shirley. I'm so excited. Oh, she'll love it, he said. She'll be so excited. And so that week, I was all set to go. And on my way, driving to O'Hare, my phone rang. And I thought, well, this is odd. And it was Shirley's husband. And he said to me, Kendra, Shirley just died. I know. And I started crying. And I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. And I wanted to call home. And John was home. Our three boys were younger at that time, so they were home also. It was lunchtime, I guess. And I called home, and John answered the phone, and he said, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you right now. I got something. It's going to burn on the stove. I know. First things first. Here's Aaron. And he handed the phone to our middle son. And I was crying. Poor kid. He was probably 15 at the time. And I was crying. And I said, Aaron, I didn't get to see Shirley. She died. Our meeting was canceled. He goes, oh, no, Mom. Your meeting wasn't canceled. It was just postponed.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
This was the middle child.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Spiritual wisdom from a child.
Amen.
A young man.
Yeah.
And Shirley was always, that was her thing of choosing joy over, there was no reason not to be joyful. And any time that you would talk to Shirley or Kendra would talk to Shirley, the joy part would always come out because you knew that she was terminal. But she never wanted to go there. She always wanted to be joyful. She said, choose joy,
Amen.
No matter, what's going
my,
on.
So. My,
great
my,
example.
My.
Now, I'm thinking for somebody tuning in, maybe they're scanning the dial, and they said, I heard him say, be joyful always, but there are times that I can't be joyful. I can't celebrate the abusive situation I've lived through or how I've been disenfranchised in this situation or this job or this bad news, this health report just came in, or these circumstances, my child is ill, whatever it would be, John, what would you say to somebody when they try to wrestle with how to be joyful always?
It's interesting that you ask that question, Mark, because that's one of the things that happened in my life. And I retired from the Air Force Reserves about 18 years ago, and I had been a Christian since I was 16. And all of a sudden, I didn't have joy because of that. I missed the flying. I missed a lot of things. And so the Lord and I started having a conversation about that, and I was depressed. You know, how in the world do you choose joy? How can you be joyful, you know? And I asked the Lord to give me a flying job, and he didn't do it. And I know, you know, there are other things that are a lot bigger than that for other folks. But for me at that time, it was really important, and I didn't have any joy. And so I looked at that, and I talked to the Lord about it, and it was quite fascinating as I researched joy. And one of the things that, and I know you like Alistair Begg on the radio, I do too, David Jeremiah, but Alistair Begg is one of my favorites. And he was talking about this a little bit, and he went to Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, in verses 16 and 17, or is it 6 and 7? Makes no difference. Chapter 2. And it talks about that the Lord took us from death to life. He raised us up, and he seated us in the heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And the other scripture that the Lord took me to was John 10:10, which was one of my favorite scriptures. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come to give you life and give it in its full. And Alistair Begg said about Ephesians, he said, if as Christ does that in our life, going from death to life, and raise us up and seat us in the heavenly places, if there isn't joy in that, then you have not been taken from death to life. And so as I looked at that and realized what the Holy Spirit was saying in both of those verses, because like in John 10:10, I looked at that as defining that from the worldly aspect of abundant life. Mm-hmm. That's defined as, what more abundance is there than being in Christ? Just like Ephesians said, to be raised up, to be death to life, raised up to the heavenly places. And so that to me then just gave joy such a whole broader idea, not defining joy by worldly things of what's going on, but by joy in the fact that we have been moved from death to life. We are raised. We are sitting in the heavenly places with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, all those circumstances. And you know, Mark, when you have Testimony Tuesday on the radio here, it's an amazing thing because you have numerous guests with a whole lot of different circumstances. And one thing comes through over the radio that I've heard, and I obviously haven't heard them all. I've heard a lot of them, and that's joy.
Oh,
and they
wow.
have... I mean, there are people that I've heard have very difficult circumstances, but they still have joy. Why? Because they have been moved from death to life.
Right.
They're raised up with Jesus, and we sit at the heavenly places. And therefore, we are full of joy no matter what the circumstances
are. Well, we're going to have you both back for Testimony Tuesday tomorrow, and I'm thinking about that eternal perspective. When we have the eternal perspective of this loving God that cares for us, that's providing a place for us to go. He sent his one and only beloved Son to die for our sins. He's done everything to initiate and prove his love to us. And sometimes we get blinded by life or circumstance, or we just forget what a chosen people we are and a part of his kingdom purposes for all eternity.
Never blinded by God. Blinded by circumstances in the world, but not by God.
Right.
He's
Amen.
Always right there.
All right, everyone. Well, you know what's going to be happening tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday as we have both John and Kendra Smiley back. And we hope you'll be blessed. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marian Simpkins with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.